Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper. I'm delighted to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled. You can sit on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or a chair or couch is equally as spiritual, whatever feels comfortable to you. And if you sit on a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And first, I just want to thank all of you who responded to my request for information about who you are and what you're interested in and what makes these videos helpful, if anything, and what might make them more helpful, if anything. I just really appreciate you taking the time to respond. It's very helpful. It means a lot to me. Thank you. And if you are hearing about this for the first time, there will be a link in here somewhere to share your responses. I would love to hear from you. Because I'm sitting here in my house by myself, talking to a computer screen, who I also know as you, but it would be great to hear back whatever it is you're interested in. So before we sit today, I want to share a few thoughts about the very complex and, in my opinion, deeply misunderstood topic of non-attachment and attachment. I think sometimes when people think about spiritual practices or Buddhism, perhaps, they think, well, the point is to be non-attached. And the attachments that I have are the problem. And if only I didn't have an ego, everything would be great. And spiritual practice is about ridding oneself of ego, ridding oneself of self, ridding oneself of attachment. Maybe, but I want to share with you my response to those thoughts, which is bullshit. No. It's very common and understandable to think that ideas from Buddhism, as I understand it, like egolessness and non-attachment, are synonymous with I don't count. And whoever I am, whatever I want, that is the problem. And I want to tell you, my friend, that who you are and what you want is not the problem. Who you are and what you want is the path. It is the path. What other path could there be? Any other path that one might think of would be predicated on beliefs. I believe that I should be like this or I shouldn't be like that. I believe this is what happens. I believe this is what would happen if I did this or that. In the Buddhist view, which no one has to adopt, by the way, but I'm just fixing to tell you that in the Buddhist view, all beliefs are considered obstacles. Even the belief that beliefs are considered obstacles, which sort of brings me to the point I want to make here, which is one of the very fascinating and confounding things to me about my Buddhist practice and Buddhism as I understand it, because I'm just one human with one human's understanding on good days. Everything that you think isn't true. Beliefs are an obstacle. Let's take that for an example. We'll go back to attachment and egolessness in a moment. Well, that's a belief. So it self-erases that very notion that beliefs are an obstacle erases itself when you look at it closely, because to hold that belief is an obstacle. So then what? Then what? It is the very same thing with egolessness. We'll start there. Egolessness we may take to mean if I only wasn't me and didn't have my preferences and my pains and my pleasures, then I'd be a spiritual being, and that is incorrect. The part of you that is saying that, if only you could get rid of your ego, is your ego. That's an ego expression. So ego and egolessness are very real ideas and very important things to explore. But when we explore them with our ego, we punch a ticket to Palookaville. So as with all things in the Buddha Dharma that I've encountered so far in 30 years, which is not that much, believe it or not, whatever the truth is about ego and egolessness, about belief and non-belief, is beyond concept. Beyond concept. So that is confounding. But however many gateways you employ to enter an understanding of the teachings, you will find yourself up against it is beyond concept. So how do we wrestle with that? So when it comes to attachment, often people say, well, you shouldn't be so attached. If only you weren't so attached, you wouldn't have these problems. And I want to say F that. I don't mean to be crude, but I know I said something like that already, but it makes me angry because usually when people say you shouldn't be so attached about yourself, first, they're telling you, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Second, they're telling you, I am attached to you being non-attached. So I'm guilty, guilty as charged, equally as guilty of attachment as you are. To tell you should be unattached is an attachment. So once again, we are at a place where true understanding of what this might actually mean is beyond the conceptual mind, which is interesting and I would say trustworthy. Trustworthy because it's not based on any human being's notions or analyses, which are always will always be flawed, no matter how brilliant they may also be. When people think, including myself, well, I wish I wasn't so attached, or you shouldn't be so attached, or attachment is the problem, the first thing that you or I could say to yourself or myself is, why am I attached to non-attachment? That is actually the first problem. I'm attached to being non-attached. So you're done. You've already lost that game. So what else is there between that could express the truth about non-attachment, which according to all the world's great wisdom traditions is a gateway to liberation? And I don't think they're all making that up for, you know, different bogus reasons. I think they've all arrived at that conclusion for very smart reasons, which I do not know what they are. But I can posit to you that what we think of as non-attachment is not caring or not getting swept away or not being triggered by things that are either painful or pleasurable. And non-attachment has something to do with converting all phenomena into some equal tone of, I don't know what, zen, blasé, something I never saw any human being on earth actually achieve that I know of. Non-attached does not mean, I posit to you, you must examine this for yourself, being unaffected. You could say, in fact, that attachment means the opposite, that non-attachment means the opposite of not caring or not being absorbed by what is happening, but to maintain some sort of equilibrium. It could mean, and you must examine, being completely absorbed in what is happening within you, around you, to you, with your pains, with your pleasures, with your confusion, completely absorbed in what is happening right now is, I think, a more accurate definition of non-attachment than seeking to land in some internal space of placidity, which more often than not asks you to disconnect from the now, to create some, I would say, spiritually bypassed state of disconnection. So non-attachment has more to do with riding the waves of what is than it does with never getting on the wave to begin with. non-attachment has more to do with going with, seeing, feeling, and then letting go when it dissolves than it does with trying to grasp onto the parts that we love, understandable, and reject the parts that are terrifying, also understandable. Non-attachment has to do with being attached to everything as it happens, and then letting go as it dissolves or lets go of you. So if you ever wonder, well, how am I ever going to be a good practitioner, a good meditator, a good Buddhist, a good person, whatever it is that matters to you, if I'm so attached to the people I love, to the things that make me happy, to the longing for a better world, to the fear of a more difficult world, all the things that drive me, I would say those things are your practice right now. Not to resolve them or get away from them, but to experience them, to feel them, to be with. Being with what is more akin to the truth of non-attachment than attempting to be with a preferred state of some sort. That's my opinion. So you have to think about it for yourself and see what you think. But just to summarize briefly, and then we'll do our short practice together. Wherever you go on the Buddhist path or the spiritual journey, I would say, it doesn't have to be Buddhist, you will find that whatever you think meets its opposite and is in fact expressing its opposite. Like, why are you so attached to non-attachment? And that to truly understand what is meant, we have to go beyond concept, beyond intellect, beyond our ideas. Not to think something else, but to experience something else. That's the spiritual journey, you could say. And when people say, or you say to yourself, I wish I wasn't so attached, you could say, well, why am I attached to being unattached? And perhaps instead, just for now, I could open to what is as a more true expression of genuine non-attachment than trying to be someone or somewhere else. Now, how do we begin doing this? We're fixing to do it right now. It's called the practice of meditation. We sit with what is. If this is your first time meditating, you will see this momentarily. And instead of trying to change it or fix it or be this way instead of that way or that way instead of this way, we just sit with it all and watch as it arises, abides, and dissolves. And in that way, we experience precisely the arc of true non-attachment, being with what arises, abides, and dissolves, and then again. So I hope this is useful, interesting. I always love to hear what you think. You can leave comments in chat you can leave comments on this blog post. There's no chatting, and I'd be delighted to respond. And I always love to hear what you're thinking. So let's sit. Please begin your practice by letting go of everything I just said or everything you thought in response. Everything that's happened so far on this day or evening, and everything that may happen tomorrow or for the rest of your life while you're at it, just let go. You can say to yourself, if it helps, now is my time to meditate. And everything else can wait, because it can. Establish your posture, which means sitting up straight, with a sense of sort of delight in your own elegance and beauty. The hands rest palms down, above the knee or at mid-thigh, somewhere that feels natural. Feel your sit bones sort of reaching down into the cushion or chair as if they could sort of root through whatever it is you're sitting on into the earth, even if it's 20 stories below you, and sort of wrap around the core and hold you. That's how firmly rooted you are. And from the waist up, you can feel a sense of blossoming and upliftedness and lightness. Let your belly soften. Let your shoulders relax. Nothing to carry right now. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted, which helps the jaw to relax. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no special breathing technique, just breathing. The eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, around 4 to 6 feet, or more or less, given the distance of your screen. And let there be a sense of receptivity in the eyes rather than searching. And let the brow relax. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, on the feeling of the body breathing, which is different than observing the breath. We're not observing it, we're feeling it. So feel the inhale and the exhale, and again, just breathing. In and out. Let your mind be as it is. The majority of your thoughts will come and go on their own. No problem. You don't need to do anything about them. Only if you notice that you've become absorbed in thought to the point where you have forgotten about your breath completely, then notice that. You can label that moment thinking, if you like. That's thinking, not meditating. Thinking, and then just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a few more minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.